Welcome to the Cooldown Room with your host, Sky Upshaw, an F1 podcast where we talk all things Formula. Welcome back, everybody. It is another race week. We've got two in a row. Last week and this week. Very exciting weekend we have coming up, and I am here to take you through everything that you need to know to be ready and raring for this weekend's Grand Prix. A very exciting Grand Prix, as we can all agree. A very iconic race, a whole iconic weekend, honestly. I love the Monaco Grand Prix as it kind of brings so many different aspects of the sport together. It brings the history of the sport, which is a big part of Monaco. The historic part of the race is one of the big reasons why we're there. But it also brings a lot of creativity and nostalgia to the sport, which I totally love. So I'm here to bring you through all the stats, the facts, and everything you need to know about F1 news at the moment. So a little pre-run before we get into the podcast. I wanted to just run through a little bit about the Imola Grand Prix, because that was a crazy Grand Prix, in my opinion. I was away in Greece watching the Grand Prix, and it was really good. I managed to just about watch it on my laptop, which was, it was stressful, honestly, trying to watch the qualifying and the race when you're not in the right country, you know, to watch it live. Anyway, I'm so pleased that I did manage to get up, because what a race that was. It kind of started off, it was exciting, there was a few things happening, and then it kind of went and then it was kind of like, okay, like we kind of know how this is gonna end. Like, it was okay. It was, I mean, Max Verstappen in that car, particularly around like lap, I want to say 20, so good. We were like, yeah, Max is winning. We kind of knew that. And then all of a sudden, 15 laps to go, Lando Norris comes into play. And obviously, it just made the whole race super exciting, added a little bit of pizzazz to the whole thing. And yeah, so we are on round 8 of 24. So I thought it'd be fun, because we're a third of the way through this season, we need to look at the driver and the constructor standings so far this year. So running in first place, of course, is Max Verstappen, and he's got 161 points with Red Bull, which is pretty good. Charles Leclerc is coming in second at the moment, and he's got 113 points. So there's not much between them. Quick maths, 48 points between them. That's exciting. I feel like that's a little bit closer than we were last year, which is, I mean, great for Charles. Look at that. Of course, he's in that Ferrari. And then on third at the moment, we have Sergio Perez. He's got 107. So he's running 6 points behind Charles, which again is very exciting. It's pretty close at the moment. Running in fourth is Lando Norris with 101. That is very good for him. He has definitely taken a big leap forward this season compared to the last, well, all of his last seasons, actually. Being fourth, running with 101 points is pretty, really good. And he's only 60 points behind the leader, which is Max. So who knows what we could see. Running fifth, we have Carlos Sainz with 93 points. Sixth is Oscar Piastri with 53. George Russell with 44. Eighth, we have Lewis Hamilton with 35. Ninth, we have Fernando Alonso with 33. Tenth is Yuki Tsunoda with 15. So that's just looking at top 10. So we have five drivers running with 0 points right now, and that is Alex Albon, Zhou Guanyu, Pierre Gasly, Valtteri Bottas, and Logan Sargeant. And Ollie Bearman, who came in for the one race, is running in 12th with 6 points. So yeah, that happened. But yeah, I think what we can take away from the season so far this year, the first third of the season, is, well, actually we're not quite third of the way. After this weekend, we will have had one third of the whole season. But Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri have taken such a leap forward this year in that McLaren. It is so exciting to see. I also think that the Ferrari boys have improved over last year, which is really good to see as well. It's so much more competitive with the front runners of Red Bull, because we've got Charles Leclerc running ahead of Sergio Perez, and he is not that far behind of Max Verstappen. And that's just looking good for the rest of the season. I think the other thing we can take away from this is, one, Aston Martin isn't performing anywhere near as well as they were last year. We kind of all knew that. They're doing better than they have done before, but they are only just running in the top 10, with Lance Stroll actually running in 11th at the moment. And the other thing we can take away from this is that Mercedes is still not doing very well. They are very mid at the moment. They are kind of mid lower top 10. George and Lewis both running 7th and 8th, and they've got 44 and 35 points separately. So it's not looking good so far, though. You know, anything can happen up ahead. I'm hoping for a good race for them this season to get a podium. And yeah, that's all I have to say on that one, on that comment. So let's move on to the stats and the facts about the Monaco Grand Prix. So as I said before, it's super historic. It's super nostalgic. I love Monaco. It doesn't work particularly well with the cars that we have right now. We kind of all know this. Like, the track is so old. The cars are so big. It doesn't work. And one thing I had to mention, I'm going to go into a little bit more detail later, but Monaco literally, they're like rebels, the whole Monaco track, because basically the whole track, it doesn't comply with any of the FIA rules at all. It's like a little separate royal circuit that they're just allowing to happen, because firstly, the width of the starting grid is actually 5 meters narrower than the FIA regulations state that they have to be. 5 meters. It's not just like one or two, it's five. Think of 5 meters. So that's how much thinner the track is, the starting grid. And you've got to fit those massive cars on them, which is crazy, in my opinion. The race distance is also almost 45 kilometers shorter than the FIA race regulations state. The race regulations say that the race distance have to be 305 kilometers or more for the whole race. But Monaco, the whole race is only 260.5 kilometers. So yeah, almost 45 kilometers difference on that one. So it's like a special track. Everyone knows this. They kind of give it a bit of exception. You know, it's Monaco, let it go, let it do its thing. Anyway, it does mean having the smaller, thinner, historic track that the racing on the Sunday isn't necessarily amazing. We can't class this track as the best track ever made for F1, because as of right now, it is definitely not. We barely get any racing or overtaking. And you know what? In the Grand Prix of 2003, there was a grand total of 0 overtakes during the whole race. It just ended like it started. So it is not the best track that we have, but it is designed superbly because it is in the city of Monte Carlo, and we love it there. And the atmosphere is amazing. And I mean, it's Monaco. Like, it's Monaco. The thing that is exciting over the whole weekend, well, there's lots of exciting things in Monaco, but the thing is very exciting for us viewers who are not watching the race in person at Monaco, so watching at our houses, is the qualifying. The qualifying is always super exciting. And you know what? This weekend, we could be having rain, which just makes it all that bit more exciting. Qualifying kind of sets the track. Obviously, hang on, I made a big mistake there. I said qualifying basically sets the track. Obviously, qualifying sets the track, obviously. But qualifying in Monaco kind of gives us a rough idea of who's going to be winning. Because if you're starting at the back of the grid, there is literally like zero chance that you're going to be making it like further ahead in the Grand Prix. Like, no one in Monaco could start 20th and finish probably anything above the 10th, I'll be honest. Like, something big has got to happen for them to go from 20th to 10th. And I'm sure it's happened. I'm sure. But yeah, with the cars we have now, it's not going to happen. So yeah, kind of top five, pretty much set to be top five unless there's a DNF or a DNS or something. So crashes do happen really often in Monaco. We see a lot of red flags in the past. That has been due to rain, actually, the red flags recently. But we've seen plenty of safety cars, yellow flags, and big crashes. So we should be expecting some drama. I mean, we're in Monaco. So yeah, drama is on the cards this weekend. Overall, the track is 3.337 kilometers long, and it is actually the shortest track of the F1 calendar. There are 19 turns in total, with one DRS zone and also one detection zone, obviously, because there's only one DRS zone. And we're going to have 78 laps on Sunday. This is, of course, a street circuit, and it's literally the most iconic street circuit of every racetrack in the world. This is the Monaco Monte Carlo street circuit, and we have to pay our respects to that. This track features the slowest corner within F1 at turn 6. We have the most iconic corner within F1 at all, which is the Monaco hairpin. We love this corner. It serves such fun. It's sometimes little overtakes, but also just the view of it. Every lap you get to see all the cars loop around the little hairpin, and it's exciting. And if you've ever been to Monaco, and if you've ever driven or walked around that hairpin, you will know just how small this hairpin is. And you kind of think, how the heck do cars, not only like real normal like roadworthy cars, but how do the F1 cars not only go around this corner but sometimes overtake? Like, that does not seem possible, but somehow the drivers make it work. And this track is super narrow, so the cars are constantly, we like to call it kissing the barriers, so constantly touching or sweeping past the barriers, and it can cause damage on the wheels on the outside, but it can also cause damage to the actual walls, which of course have lots of padding and everything. So sometimes we see yellow flags or even red flags where a wall has been damaged due to a car sort of kissing it or barely skimming it, but the wall has been damaged, and therefore the FIA have to go out, they have to fix the wall, and then we can start racing again. So that is another thing on the cards for the weekend. This track is literally so narrow and the cars are so wide, it just doesn't really work anymore, but we cannot possibly not go to this track because it's Monaco. So it's iconic, and to be honest, anyone that says we shouldn't be racing there anymore, why are you watching F1? Because this is the iconic track. The first season of F1 in 1950, we raced at this track. And it has held so many moments within F1 which have been iconic. You know, we've seen Ayrton Senna and Nelson Piquet, or maybe Lewis Hamilton with Jenson Button. It's so iconic. We've had so many great moments there. I love it. You know what? Nelson Piquet once described driving around Monaco as riding a bicycle around your living room. That is a super random analogy to say, Nelson. Just letting you know, but it kind of makes you think, oh, okay, so this is like a crazy track. And that was even back then when Nelson Piquet was racing. So you think how the cars have improved and grown since then. Wow. It'd be like riding a motorbike around your living room. So the current lap record during a Grand Prix is a 1:12.909, and that was set by Lewis Hamilton in 2021. The tires used this weekend will be the softest compounds of all the tires, with the C3 as hard, the C4 as medium, and the C5 as soft. This is due to the very smooth track, because the tarmac laid is of course road car worthy. It's a very smooth track, and you need as much grip as possible out of those tires to basically stay on the track, because of course it's so smooth. So they need the softest tire to keep them warm and keep the grip high during the racing. The weather over the weekend is going to be warm. It's like 21, 22 degrees Celsius. So the weather on Saturday is meant to be warm at like 21, 22 degrees, but it's meant to be raining. Just a little bit of rain over the course of qualifying. So it sets at about 2 to 4 o'clock. It's going to be sprinkled rain, and that's exciting because qualifying is what is most exciting generally during the Monaco weekend. And so seeing rain could make things all that more interesting. Sunday is going to be, well, forecast at the moment as sunny with 21 to 22 degrees Celsius as well. So a quick look at the schedule for the weekend. We have qualifying on Saturday, of course, and the race on Sunday, obviously. Qualifying is at 4 p.m. track time in Monaco, which is 3 p.m. British summer time. And the race is at 3 p.m. track time in Monaco, and that is 2 p.m. in British summer time. As I mentioned earlier, the first Grand Prix at Monaco was held in 1950, and it's one of only 7 original F1 races that appeared on the calendar of the first ever F1 season. They only had 7 that year, and it has now somehow gotten to 24 races during the whole year, but yeah, it was one of 7. And it is part of only 4 current races which are set from the original season of F1, and that includes Silverstone, Monza, Spa, and of course Monaco. And a super fun fact that I just totally love to tell everyone is that the FIA still require scuba divers to stay around the track harbour just in case a driver or a car ends up in the harbour, in the sea. So they just hire in scuba divers. Imagine it's your job. You've been contacted by F1, by the FIA, and you have been asked as a professional scuba diver to stay by and in the harbour throughout the weekend to wait to see if an F1 car lands in the water. What do you say to that? Like, yes, I will do that. Like, that's mental. That is such fun though. Monaco is the home race of a very special boy in F1, Charles Leclerc. You know we're talking about you, honey. It is Charles Leclerc's home race, of course, but I kind of think that the Monaco Grand Prix is kind of a home race for so many drivers. Currently, there are 9 F1 drivers living in Monaco, okay? And that obviously includes Charles Leclerc being his home race. But you know who else lives in Monaco? Alex Albon lives in Monaco. Daniel Ricciardo, George Russell, Lando Norris, Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen, Nico Hülkenberg, and Valtteri Bottas. They all live in Monaco. And of course, that is not their nationality, but they live there. We don't talk about it, but obviously we know why they live there. They're clearly making enough money to not want to pay tax. So fair enough. I'm sure it's great living in Monaco. The cars are stunning. But anyway, yeah, 9 of the 20, that is like almost 50%. That is crazy. But yeah, 9 of them, it's like a kind of home race because they live there. Imagine that though, particularly for Charles. It's just like, oh yeah, like I can walk to the F1 this weekend. Like I can walk. Normally they're flying all over the world, but 9 of them can literally walk or maybe like cycle. Now, of course, it's Charles Leclerc's home race. We've said this multiple times, of course, but his history in Monaco has not been brilliant with driving on the track in Monte Carlo. He hasn't had the greatest time and we're hoping for better for him. He's never been on the podium, let alone won at his home Grand Prix. And we are really hoping that it is coming soon because, gosh, he deserves it. Don't y'all think? I think he does. A quick look back at his results at the track. When he first raced there in 2017 with F2, he DNF'd. He did not finish. And that was during the feature race in the F2. The same year, same weekend in F2, during the sprint race, he started the race. He did not finish the race. He DNF'd again. He came back a year later within F1. So it was a 2018 Grand Prix and he did not finish. He DNF'd again. Yes. So he came back the year later in 2019 for the F1 Grand Prix and he did not finish the Monaco Grand Prix. So that didn't go very well. So he came back in 2021 because we skipped a year in 2020. So he came back in 2021 and it was going to be his year. So he went ahead and he didn't even start this race. He had a failure. He had a fault with the car and he did not start. He DNS'd. So he came back in 2022 and you know what? He got P4. Yes, a round of applause. He got P4. But he didn't quite get the podium and we're all very sad about him. So he came back in 2023 and he got P6. So yeah, he hasn't had the greatest time in Monaco and I know he had a good race in 2022 with P4 and that's amazing that he even finished the race and P4 was a great result and P6 was also a great result last year but we are really hoping, come on Charles, let's get him on the podium and let's get him to win his home Grand Prix because how good would that be? Wouldn't that be like literally his best weekend of his life? Yeah, it would. And also imagine, I'm sure you have all seen Charles Leclerc's dog, Leo Leclerc, okay? And Leo has literally been going to all of the races. The little puppy is the first dog to ever have his own paddock pass with his face on it. That's adorable. So hopefully his little family will be there, including Leo, to support him throughout the weekend and hopefully, just hopefully get him that result that we all so desperately want him to get. So Monaco brings a lot of creativity. I've said this before, and that includes different liveries, helmets, and suits. The biggest difference with the creativity, liveries and helmets and suits and all that this weekend is McLaren. McLaren have gone full Ayrton Senna mode. We all know it's 30 years this year since Ayrton Senna's death at the Imola Grand Prix in 1994. And this weekend, McLaren are paying their respects. They have redesigned their livery to commemorate Ayrton in the nicest way. They have coloured the whole car, the suits and the helmets to represent the Brazilian colours of yellow, green and blue. And it is really, really lovely. Everyone's talking about how they didn't do this in Sao Paulo instead later in the year. Honestly, I'm slightly confused as well, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. We're in Monaco and that's iconic enough and a really great excuse to bring it into the sport. but the car looks awesome. I petitioned to make this a real livery for one of the cars because it looks so good. And if you haven't seen it, please go over to the McLaren F1 page and look it up. Also on the screen now for viewers. Like, so good. I personally love it, right? Okay. But obsession over. The McLaren suits are also representing the same colours. They've gone very yellow, which I kind of absolutely love. And then the McLaren boys, Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri, have also designed their helmets to represent the colours too. They've both stuck to their kind of normal helmet designs, but they have recoloured them to represent the Brazilian flag in commemoration for Ayrton Senna. And we have a few helmets, special helmets for the weekend. We have Charles Leclerc's special Monaco helmet, which I think is going to be really nice and hopefully bring him some good luck for this race. Fernando Alonso has got a new helmet. Alex Albon has got a new helmet. And Nico Hülkenberg and Kevin Magnussen also have new helmets for this weekend. So go check them out or on screen right now. It's also F2 this weekend, so we'll be watching that race. The F2 is always really good in Monaco because the cars are that little bit smaller and it just means that the racing is far more competitive. They can do more overtaking. The cars are slightly slower as well. And everyone is talking about Carlos Sainz talking with Williams. So I saw a little interview earlier that James Vowles basically said that he and the whole team talked to so many drivers within F1 and other championships like F2, and they would let the fans know as promptly and as soon as possible if anything was to change at that team. And I think that was quite a respected thing for him to say, really. I know that Alex Albon is, of course, staying at Williams. So whether Logan will stay or not is up in the air, I guess, because though lots of people would probably say that Logan Sargeant isn't one of the best drivers on the grid, he does bring a lot to the sport in relation to sponsors and American viewers. And I do think that's important for that side of the sport. The American viewers, though they can probably support Haas, they don't, of course, have a driver outside of Logan that they might support as kind of their home driver. So Logan does bring lots to the sport. So I don't know what's going to happen over there. But yeah, I know that Carlos Sainz is a big talking point. Like, where is he going to be going? But I think more so is which car is fast enough for him. I mean, he has proved so much now that he is a seriously good driver. And Ferrari will be missing out next year with not having him in the team, though of course they will be swapping him out with the one and only Lewis Hamilton, which I think is a great combination. It will be really sad to see Carlos not in that red car again. Where will he go? What will he do? So many questions. We will just have to find out. Silly season seems to be a whole year this year. Silly season is literally the whole season so far. We've just had chaos. Honestly, I'm like scared, really nervous and excited for the breaking news release about where Carlos Sainz will go. I'm so excited for that kind of day to come up. And I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm going to assume it's before the halfway point of this season, because something that big, I mean, it takes a long time to decide something like that for Carlos, but yeah, it's going to be happening soon, I'm sure, because he'll be snatched up pretty quickly. I think that's everything you need to know about this weekend's Grand Prix. I really hope you enjoy your weekend. I'm really looking forward to the race. I'd like to know all of your predictions and any little comments you want to add to my podcast. Please drop them in the comments or go over to my social media, my Instagram, my TikTok. They're all at Sky Official, SkyOfficial. And yeah, you can find me on every platform. So yeah, enjoy your weekend and you will hear from me very soon. Bye.